She's going after it. It's the news. According to me. Hey, good morning. Good morning again. It's another good morning. Good fine morning. Happy fine morning to you. It's 7:19 a.m. Another fairly early show. It's fairly early. It's going to be kind of a short show because I've got some issues I got to deal with this morning. Someone in the house, not going to say who, came home on the way home yesterday. Let me know that there was there was pressure leaking from her tire. Cars today are pretty amazing, really. Think about it. The car's telling you you've got a low tire. It tells you what the pressure is. That's, who'd have thunk that 100 years ago? We live in an amazing time. So this thing, and it's not even a brand new car at all. It's like, these are older cars. I don't know where I was going to go with that. I have ties older than these cars. I don't know what to say about that. I was trying to come up with a snappy pun, whatever. It's too early to come up with words, I think, apparently. Apparently, when I get up early, I don't come up with words as well. Now, I got a lot of distractions this morning. But I did spend my time doing due diligence, scouring the interwebs of the ethosphere for you, my listeners. This is the show where I inform you full well that I am not I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a political analyst, I'm not a geopolitical expert. I'm not a brain surgeon or a life coach or a financial counselor. I do drink chai though, and this is what I've got in my cup this morning. I've got chai. I found some more chai. I did have some more chai. There was one of my bags that I carry around. As I travel, I had about half a jug of powdered chai in there. So I made myself some chai and had this organic creamer once again, which tastes okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's vanilla flavored. Got a very strong vanilla flavor. Well, things are ramping up around the country. A couple different things that are happening. Interesting that Nancy Mace, is that her name, from South Carolina? She won her re-election bid. And when asked about, you know, how she felt about Trump announcing early, she didn't answer the question. All she said was, well, you know, there's a lot of people like, you know, Ron DeSantis and who's the other, what's the other lady that I can't stand? I think she was an ambassador for a while. Can't remember her name. I'll think of it. She talks with her mouth kind of always clamped shut. Can't remember what her name is. Dark haired. Yeah, I'll think of it. So she was talking about them. Well, they've got a lot of candidates that are possible, you know, possibilities. Tried to put a positive spin on what she was saying. It's just you don't understand, lady. You just backed yourself into a corner. You just made it very, very much aware that you're a weasel. Apparently, I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Lindsey Graham is from South Carolina. I believe this other lady is also from South Carolina. Let's see if I can find her name. It's South Carolina politics. See what kind of names pop up here. Yeah, there's Lindsey Graham. Clay Warren, of course, is in there. It's not giving me any. Let's just go to the images and see if she ever pops up in here anywhere. Yeah, I don't see her. Yeah, there she is. Nikki Haley. That's what it is. That's who it is. I didn't see her name, but I saw her picture, and I was like, that's Nikki Haley. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, Nikki Haley. So we have these individuals that Nikki Haley's a establishment weasel as well. Just call them for what they are. These people are, how you say, now I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Ted Cruz here now. Things are ramping up, however. Let's get back to this whole thing. The race for governor of Arizona, Carrie Lake has not conceded, and she's going to be filing lawsuits. She is suing the daylights out of everything involved, including Katie Hobbs. The issue of Katie Hobbs recusing herself from being the election chief in the state of Arizona while she's running for election as for governor. She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't recuse herself. And her answer was, or the reason was, because I need to fulfill the office that the people elected me for. No, you fulfill the office of the people who elected you for that office to do that office's job, yes. One of the things that they didn't elect you to do was to run for governor. And you did that with the power of the state attorney general, which is also the election chief. And you don't see the conflict of interest there. The leftists will scream and yell for Supreme Court justices to recuse themselves because their spouses are involved in an organization that conflicts with what their decisions are. This is at the highest level a conflict of interest. And yet all you hear is, you know, the typical, well, you know what it is. It's this constant drone from the left whenever they do anything wrong. All you hear. That's about it. Just crickets. And it gets very tiring. Now, over the last couple of days, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and I believe it was Jordan Peter. Jordan, I always say, I want to say Jordan Peter. Jim Jordan out of Ohio have been going after Christopher Wray. They're obviously very disgusted by the guy. And apparently, part of what happened here is that Ron Johnson was smeared. There was a major smear campaign that came from the administration. And against Ron Johnson during his last election. And there's the issue there is that, you know, Ron is pretty upset about this now. Oh, all of a sudden it became personal. And he was letting Christopher Wray have it. And he was asking him questions directly about the whole investigation into the smear campaign. He said, well, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. Christopher Wray is one of those people who just likes to talk and talk and talk. He can talk a long time. And then he gives these roundabout answers that go on and on about, you know, he kind of gets a smirk in his voice. Well, we can't talk about that because blah, 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 blah. And he always has a smirk on his face like, yeah, we're just putting up with these bozos. This is ridiculous what they're putting us through. Now, I remember Jim Comey, at one point, he said, you're going to investigate the investigators? How silly. How stupid is that? I mean, his attitude was, this is ridiculous that you would even think of investigating the investigators. The investigators, poop doesn't stink. Why would you investigate them? That's just so ridiculous. That was his opinion. And yet, as we dig into this whole thing, we continue to find more and more cover-up directly from the upper echelon at the FBI. It is a major scandal, major. Everything from the DOJ, from our Attorney General, Garland, down through the top of the FBI. And I was just having this discussion with some people over the last week that we were talking. They were talking about. They just brought. Well, it was all James Comey. James Comey did. They did this and did that. And blah 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 blah. I was like, apparently you're not keeping up with current news. Because hello, the current administrator, head of the FBI, is even worse than James Comey, in my opinion. When asked about the 51 or however many it was, you get different answers, 50 or 51 top-ranking intelligence officers who claimed that the Hunter laptop story had all the earmarkings of a Russian disinformation campaign. Okay. Has all the earmarks. They were very careful about the way they said it. They didn't say it was a Russian disinformation campaign. They said it has all the earmarks. Well, sure it does. Because you guys put it together to be that way. That's you put it together specifically so that it has all the earmarks. Can you go down the list of all those earmarks? Apparently there's something on the list. Did you hear them ever say what these earmarks are? Has all the earmarks. Well, let's take a look at those ears. Maybe you can run us through a small list. Maybe the list is classified. You can't talk about that list. Well, they use the word the and a. And a lot of times they'll use the word stuff. What exactly is the earmark? Can you even give us an information on, is it digitally related? Is it a digital tracking? You know, they throw this kind of stuff out there. The news media grabs hold of it, and they're done. If it's the story that they want, they're just done with it. Nobody asks any more questions. What are these earmarks? Can you go into any more detail? No, they never. They won't do that. Well, I can't comment on any ongoing investigation. Well, you just made a comment, but you can't clear it up. You can't clarify your comment. You can't dig down any further with this comment. Apparently, that you just made. And therein lies the problem. We have this phony show going on. It's all political theater, as I've said before. It's political theater. And they know that the optics have to be a certain way. You got Mike Pence out there now. This is an interesting case as well. Mike Pence out there is talking to everybody, MSNBC, CNN, anybody he can to sell his book. Well, it's all in my book. Every time they ask him a question, well, you'll find out in my book. It's in my book. Mark Dice did a really good take on it. He had every clip of him saying in my book. It's there was like 27 of them in this one little 3-minute interview he had on Fox News, I think it was. It was a short little interview, and he just kept on going and going and going. In my book. When I sat down to write my book, now remember what I said about this the other day. If you listened to the show the other day and how I talked about how writing a book is just, you know, it's not something you just sit down and do. I just sat down to write my book. When I sat down to write my book, now think about how short of a time it's been since he's left office. I sat down to write this book. When was that? What day of the week? What day of the month was that? Can you give us a time and a date when you sat down to write your book? And how much time? Let's dig into that one a little bit. Really, you wrote this book. You wrote every word. You just sat down, started typing. And out popped a book. And now you're on tour. Right before election season starts. How convenient. I guess you had nothing else to do. I can't remember what the estimates are on especially writing your first book. I don't think it's probably not his first book, because he probably has had a ghostwriter before. But when you do this kind of thing and you have this, this is in my book. This guy's not sitting around writing a book. But all of a sudden, the J6 committee wants to call him before, they want to subpoena him and have him come before the committee. And guess what his response is? Well, you know, I think the separation of powers is very important. Oh, really? Where were those words when they were trying to subpoena Trump to come before the J6 committee? When they were subpoenaing everybody under Trump in his administration. when they even established the J6 committee, unconstitutionally, by the way. They even broke their own rules in establishing this J6 committee in terms of the way it was supposed to be put together. And Nancy Pelosi, even with the modified rules that they changed, broke those rules, stepped in and had to fix it. Well, we can't have Jim Jordan in there. We have to have Adam Kinzinger in. We have to have some Never Trumpers in there, like, what's her name? I don't know. Can't remember her name now. Liz Cheney. Yeah. So all this stuff's going on. So the left is now geared. Now, I expect that the left, and I'm assuming the DOJ and the J6 committee, all this kind of stuff, it's going to be very interesting in the near future here, how we pull together what's going to happen with regard to how they come after Trump from this point forward. Because you know they're going to. They're not going to let up on Trump. So the question is now, how do they approach this? Because they've said for a long time, we don't want to interfere with an election. We can't go after someone as a political. It could be misconstrued as a political point. What they're going to go after Trump. In fact, it's been very quiet on the DOJ front here lately. I'm expecting a second raid on Trump's property. Maybe not his Mar-a-Lago property. It could be one of the Trump Towers. Someplace they're going to go after him again. They're not letting up on this. Because they know their time is short. This is, if the investigations from Congress come tumbling in, which it looks like they're going to, they are ramping up for this. They want to know what they're being very clear. This is not about Hunter Biden. This is about Joe's connection to Hunter Biden's business associates and his involvement in this whole thing. Everybody around Joe Biden, his brother, his son, a lot of other family members were involved in all this stuff with Ukraine and China and Iran. And you're telling me Joe didn't know anything about it. And Jim Jordan made a really good comment when he was talking about this. He said, you know, it started off with, this is all Russian disinformation, this whole thing with the laptop. Then it turned into, well, maybe not. Maybe it is his computer, but Joe didn't know anything about it. Joe didn't have any interaction with him at all. Even though he was riding on the airplane and he was meeting with all his business associates, he didn't know anything about what was going on. Then it turned into, well, you know, he might have known about it, but he wasn't involved and didn't affect him at all. Really? Okay. That's where we're going with this. The whole thing stinks, and everybody knows it. And it is very obvious. I mean, when they've taken polls, they've found out that hundreds of thousands of people who were asked the question if it would have affected them in the election, their decision in the election to elect Biden or not, have said that it may have affected their decision. Now, I think the Democrat establishment, the Democrat machine that runs the show behind the scene, does not want Joe to run again. Now, supposedly, Hillary Clinton is going to be coming out with a big announcement. I believe it's this evening. She'll be sitting behind her desk in her pantsuit or sitting in a chair like Jabba the Hutt. And she'll be sitting there talking about how she defeated him once, she'll defeat him again, and she's going to come out and run against Trump. Or she's going to tell us what we're supposed to think. Because, you know, she's everybody's mother. Speaking of everybody's mother, has anybody seen the Obamas with their children lately? Where are their kids? The you know, there is this theory, by the way, that they're not really their kids. And the people who probably are their kids are very close to the Obamas. And why would they still be spending time? Their kids are spending more time with those people than they are with their own parents. Well, we're led to believe are their own parents. Very strange. I haven't heard anybody talk about this in the media at all. I've just been kind of tracking some things myself. And it seems awfully odd. At some point, we're going to find out the truth on this. And of course, it'll be probably after everybody's involved is gone. We'll have to see how they react, how the kids react when their real parents die. We'll see how that works out. So, things are ramping up for the next election. The Republican Party is in this state of disarray. If President Trump can maintain his decorum, in my opinion, he will handily win the nomination in the primary. If he starts getting a little wackadoodle, you know, I can live with wackadoodle if the policies are okay. I can look past that. But some people can't. I can't make that decision for other people. And some people don't like the mean tweets, the mean spiritedness of, or the whatever. You know, usually when somebody comes after him, then he comes back pretty hard. He's not usually the one that starts it. Now, I don't know what's going on with this whole DeSantis thing. To me, it almost seems like it's either a setup. Now, I could see DeSantis and Trump having a phone call and the two of them working out some kind of a scheme where they say, hey, look, let's make it look like we're at odds with each other. And in the end, we'll shove this whole thing under the rug and surprise them all. Or keep the media cycle doing something weird. You know, keep them on top of this story so that they ignore everything else. Kind of a watch this hand while they can't see the other hand moving kind of thing. I don't know. Is that what they're doing, or is it really a real rival? It could be. I think it's what it is on its face, in my opinion. But I would not be surprised if there was some kind of communication between the two of them, or through back channels of some kind. Especially throughout the whole, you know, Ian Storm and everything that was going on. They could have easily been having meetings and nobody would have paid any attention because of Ian. The storm was taking all the headlines. So therefore, I would submit to you that it's going to be an interesting season ahead this next year now. So unfortunately, my show cannot be very long this morning because I have to deal with this tire issue, which I think I'm going to run over to the tire store, have them fix it this morning. I could fix it, but the only problem I have with the tire store, and I've noticed this about getting a plug put in your tire. Have anybody ever gone to get a plug put in their tire recently? It's like every time you do this, I used to have like a nail in the, like it would go in the sidewall a little bit. It was up near the tread and it would go in the sidewall. And they'd say, well, it's really close to our allowable limits, but we can put a plug in there. I'd put a plug in it and it was fine. Of course, if I'd take it into them the next time, they'd find the plug. And it's like, well, this has a plug in the sidewall. We can't accept this tire. Like, it's my tire, and I'll drive it if I want to. You're not held liable for that. They act like they can't allow it out the door without this, with this plug in the side of the tire. Well, I've been driving it for 20,000 miles that way. But they have these fits they throw. Well, you got to put a new tire on there. So then, but now that range seems to be moving inward. If it's anywhere in the outside of the tread, like in the outer part of the tread, on the main part of the tire, that's too close to the edge. We have to replace that. It's a brand new tire. We just got it 7,000 miles ago. Less than that. Probably 3,000 miles we only got this tire. If I take it over there, you watch, they're gonna tell me I need a new tire. Because here's the problem with that. You get one new tire and the other tires aren't new. I've got one of my cars is an all-wheel drive, and of course this one's out of spec because now you get this tire's not it's too big around, and so the other ones are gonna throw your transmission off. You know what? Just put the tire on there and I'll deal with the transmission. You're not a transmission shop, you're a tire shop. Just put the tire on there. I've had tires so far off from one to the other. The transmission figures it out. Trust me on this. It's a Volvo. It knows what's going on. They make these weird mistakes. You know, just having a couple pounds of pressure more in one tire than the other can affect it that much. So don't give me this baloney. It's just baloney. And my car's got 300,000 miles on it. So just, you know, the transmission went out. But yeah, the transmission was about to go out anyway. When you get over 300,000 miles on a car, everything's about to go out. Okay. That's just the way it works. But I got 300,000 miles out of it doing exactly what I'm telling you to do. How many other cars come in the door here with 300,000 miles on them that look like they're off the showroom floor? Yeah. Oh, these people. Just, you know, I came to the tire shop to have you do a job, and you're telling me you can't do it because, you know, XYZ. So there you go. That's my story. So I feel like putting the plug in myself just because I don't want to have to deal with all this. Well, we can't put this plug in. You have to change your tire. Now, we do have road hazard insurance, which I think that's why they jump on this stuff so fast. Oh, it's only $19 to put another tire on. Well, actually, they'll replace the tire for free. Of course, then they never have the right size tire. But we can put a whole set on today for $600. Oh, okay, so it came in to get something done for free, and it's going to cost me $600 to get a whole new set of tires. Because you wouldn't put a plug in that one. Yeah, what I should do is just slime it and then bring it in to you, you know, to have you inspect it sometime. Just pull it apart and get all that slime all over you. They hate slime, the tire shops. They hate that stuff because it gets all over them. Anyway, I digress. I'm on a tirade about tires. It's a tirade. That's what it's called. So that's the show for today. I really don't have time to. I've got to get off the car and over the tire shop, and then I got to go to have some coffee with somebody. So I got to meet up with somebody today because I'm spending a bunch of money again. It's like I just do that. So I got to go out and spend some money. It's fun, especially when it's somebody else's money. Now I'm kind of starting to understand the Democrats. I understand why this is so much fun. It's fun to be generous with other people's money. So that's the show, folks. And once again, it is Friday already, coming up on Shabbat Shalom. Coming up on Shabbat. So I'll say Shabbat Shalom to you there. We'll do it that way. So come on the weekend. Folks, pray for the nation. Pray for everything that's going on. And pray for this upcoming season. It's going to be a little bit bitter in some ways. God bless everybody. Have a great day.